The person who I know who was a victim of gun violence was my uncle, my mom's brother, her oldest brother. And he was murdered on March 1st of 2018 by his tenant. And he'd been renting to this person, as I understand it, for, you know, a few years. And my uncle was murdered in a garage at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a Thursday. And according to the person who murdered him, they had gotten in an argument about the rent being raised, something like $30. My uncle gave the murderer, you know, said, the rent's going up. You know, if you want to stay, fine. If you don't, you need to move out because I've got to fill the apartment. I don't quite know, you know, what happened, but this discussion, according to people who were home at the time, happened, I think, in the apartment building. And then my uncle went out to the garage where he was working on some projects. And his tenant, the guy who killed him, in that time, got the gun that he had hid. And he owned this gun illegally. The guy who killed him, Jason, I'm just going to call his name's Jason. Sure. He is a convicted felon. He has probably 20 years of things on his record. And sure, some are felonies, some aren't. He had this gun hidden and went into the garage. And again, this is all according to Jason and what the scene looked like after. But he shot him in the head. My uncle turned to say, you know, whatever, you know, this is it. If you want to pay $30, if you don't, turn around. And Jason shot him from 3 feet from behind. And then he died instantly. And then Jason, and this is what the news doesn't talk about. And this is what has been, these details are what have been removed from Jason's record. So it's, you know, it's important for me to provide this as difficult right. as it be to, for people to hear this. You know, my uncle's shot in the back of the head, dies, falls. Jason robbed him, stole him from all the cash. My uncle was first of the month. He collected payment from his tenants, rolled his body up in a tarp or blanket or something and stuffed it in a corner of the garage, took my uncle's car and proceeded to go to Walmart, where he went into a dressing room and changed out of all of his bloody clothes. Left the clothes there, went to his parole officer, whatever it was, because he had to be tested for drugs or something like that as part of his parole, and then went to a bar, drank with one of his friends, went home. And at this point, my cousins and my aunt started, where is he? You know, he was supposed to be home. The next morning, which would have been Friday, March 2nd, woke up at like 5 to a bunch of text messages from my cousin, you know, do you know where Uncle Bill, do you know, like all, and nobody had any idea where he was. Everybody's thinking the worst. And I ended up going to the apartment with my mom that morning to try to find him. And I had a feeling that he was dead. I just, when I saw my cousin's text message saying, we don't know where my dad is, I'm like, this is not right. This is not normal. Right. And when we got to the apartment, which is where we knew he last was, that's when we were greeted with Cudahy Police, South Milwaukee Police, and Greenfield Police, because my uncle lived out in Greenfield. My mom and I were the first to be told that there was a body in the garage, and I had a picture of Christmas, which was from, you know, 2 or 3 months before, of my uncle and my mom, and I gave it to the detective on my phone, and they used that picture to identify his body. Jason went to work that morning, and that's where they arrested him. Meanwhile, that's, little did I know, and I think my whole family, that was really when stuff started, when they arrested him. And, you know, we thought, okay, great, he's arrested, case closed. You know, he confessed to the murder, and that is far from reality when it comes to gun violence in our quote unquote criminal justice system. Because as we found out, Jason has pretty severe mental illness problems, but this was just diagnosed as a result of him murdering my uncle. And the gun violence isn't just about the guns. It's about mental health. It's, you know, about making sure that, you know, we have systems in place and more money invested in counselors and schools so that someone like Jason, who may have been exhibiting things when he was 10 or whatever, someone has the opportunity to sit down with them and say, hey, what's going on? What's going on at home? What's not going on at home? What are you feeling? What are you, you know, just really normalizing, and I don't like you, but like really making it okay for people to say, I'm angry and here's why, or mm-hmm. I'm upset with you. And, you know, we're the emotional intelligence, I think, of most people is we don't talk about that. And meanwhile, we're so bent on getting people through school and let's graduate college in 3 years. And mm-hmm. let's not take the time to really slow down how we are being formed as humans who live in community, whether we like it or not, with one another every minute of every single day. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not taking the time to foster that. It's multi-tiered, multi-pronged, however you want to say it, problem that needs a solution that aligns with that. But at the core, I really do think it starts with talking and listen to other people's stories.